loud and clear. That'd be 73.
How many times do you think you've seen your own ass in your life? You know what I mean? Like, seriously.
None. I mean, unless you got a mirror. I have like a couple zits on the middle, like right near my f***ing taint.
All right.
And I've like been over and done like, you know,
that's what I mean.
Pretzel views.
The only time you see
like, some sh.
And I get that weird thing on my butt, even though it's higher than my ass. I'm like, oh, there's my ass. I see like once a year, buddy.
I'm not going to lie.
What are you doing?
With as low as my mirror hangs and next to my toilet, there have been times where I've gotten up after a session and I've just decided, you know what? Let's just take a gander. I'll just turn around real quick and I'll
take a gander. Because the thing is, you never see your ass. That should be a question
of the
day.
Then you want to go make balloon animals. You got a balloon knot?
Exactly.
I'm going to make that a question of the day. When was the last time you saw your own ass?
It's so attractive every time that I see it, too.
Why did you have to see your
and
own
ass? And whose ass did you see otherwise?
Right. Whose ass have you seen most recently? And when's the last time you saw your own?
Do you have a cat?
The question mark, exclamation point.
All right, I think we're ready to go here. We ready?
Sure.
Let's do this thing.
Now, the greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Crowd's going wild.
Of course
what
they
a
are.
Day. Aren't you so excited that the greatest story never told podcast number 73 is out?
Man, oh man, they should be excited. We just did some great work in there. We came up with a potential question of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting ready for the show here. But in the meantime, we've got a podcast to do. So here we are. By the way, of course, if you'd like to be an unofficial sponsor of the greatest story never told podcast, do us a favor and make a donation to one of the three local charity Fisher houses in the area. Donate to that great charity, and we will award you with an unofficial sponsorship. Whatever you're pimping, you got a podcast like everybody else does. If you've got a small business, anything that you need to get the word out on, you got a YouTube channel, we do not care. Just make a small donation.
Donation
to the Fisher House. And we'll hook you up. And make sure it's the local branch, because you can go to fisherhouse.org and donate, obviously, across the country. We would prefer you put the funds and keep them here in the Pacific Northwest. All right. So anyway, today on the podcast, we're going to make this kind of short and sweet. A couple weeks ago, we had a listener who emailed in and said that, hey, I would really like to hear you guys tell the story of when Ted almost killed Steve at the Evergreen Speedway in Monroe.
Great.
You know what I mean? So we will take suggestions if you've ever heard us want to.
He still doesn't care. That's maybe, the amazing thing after all these years. Like, hey, Robin is racing.
I did my thing. You know what I mean? I did my thing. So if you ever have a suggestion or something you'd like to hear. Now, one thing that is a little bit strange, but it is it's true, is the fact that we've been here so long now. 16 years, that a lot of what we've done as far as the archives and other things, you cannot get online anymore. Just based on, like, you know, how much space is available and everything else. Yeah, you can get an interview here or there from a few years back, or a show maybe from a few years back, but like everything else and all clouds, like, they roll over, get rid of other years, get rid of other stuff. So there's a limited amount of that stuff out there. So I have a buddy named Jay. And Jay is a big Marc Maron fan. And I don't even think Jay listens to this podcast, but I'm going to tell him to listen to this damn podcast, because we're going to serve up Jay what he requested to me. He sent me a text one day, and he said, hey, man, he said, did you guys ever interview Marc Maron? Because I kind of remember you interviewing him back in the day, but I'm not really sure.
What's funny is, if he had asked me that, I'd have been like, nah, I'd remember that.
You don't remember interviewing Marc Maron?
No, I do not. I honestly do not remember.
Okay, well, Marc Maron came in into Seattle. This is 2013.
Was this in person?
Yeah, he came in the studio. He was doing live shows all weekend long.
I do, and I'm not kidding. People always think I'm joking about this. I'm not. No. I do not remember probably 80% of the people we interviewed.
And as we celebrate 50 years of KSW, we thought we'd bring some of these things back around so you could hear them. Anyway, speaking of Marc Maron, we just want to give him a little bit of credit here. The podcast that Mark does, WTF with Marc Maron, I think we know what WTF stands for, has been awarded the Governor's Award by the Podcast Academy. You say, what the hell is that?
Oh, yes.
The first ever Governor's Award at the inaugural Awards for Excellent in Audio. The AMBYs, they will be handed out on May 16th. The reason that you have no idea what this prestigious award is, this is the very first year they're doing it.
All right.
And he's the guy that's going to get the first award ever. It's like a Lifetime Achievement Award. This is a big deal, right?
All right.
The Podcast Academy said that its Board of Governors will give Maron the award, which recognizes a podcast or individual for the compelling impact they've had on the industry. Obviously, we will never receive this award.
No, there's
no chance. This podcast is not compelling. Maron and his producer, Brendan McDonald, they will accept the award at a ceremony, which will be on YouTube and Twitch from Los Angeles. They said in a statement, it's a genuine honor to be recognized by your peers as a major influence on the podcast medium. The show has evolved into what is now, through our persistence, creativity, discipline, and curiosity, we're grateful for the recognition and the freedom that podcasting affords us. Now, keep in mind, as far as Mark Maron goes, the guests on his podcast have included everyone from Mel Brooks, Nicole Kidman, Sir Paul McCartney, Amy Poehler, Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, Sarah Silverman, the President of the United States, Barack Obama at the time, who did the podcast in Mark's garage,
right,
where he does the podcast. So this guy has, he's come a long way since we got to interview him when he was just doing a TV show.
And I don't even remember.
And now he's an award winner. So ladies and gentlemen, for this podcast and the greatest story never told, episode number 73, we're going to go back in time and let you hear a little bit of Mark Maron back in the day.
New to me, too.
Time. New to Steve.
Don't remember.
Time. Here you go, Jay.
Good. We got a win, and Mark Maron walked in studio right in the middle of it. What a day we had.
It's a great thing to walk into when you have no idea what's going on. This is going to be good.
Mark Maron.
It's poetry. That's what I thought. This guy's a poet of some kind.
He is in town, everybody. Doing a little comedy tonight. The Sub Pop Festival.
I tried to explain in the hallway. I'm like, he's going to be doing something weird.
No, just I thought I walked into a slam poetry event. It was just repetitive, and I wasn't getting the point.
Well, see, it's called Ted versus the FCC.
I get
it. So there's words you can't say, and he didn't.
Mark in town tonight for the Sub Pop Records Silver Jubilee comedy thing. Eugene Merriman has also been on the program, is taking the stage along with John Benjamin and a couple other comedians. Doors open tonight at 7. The show's at 8 at the Moore Theater. Mark, I got to ask you, every time you get on the radio and you crack the microphone and you start talking, do you always feel like you're going to be pulled into a meeting and then fired?
Those days are behind me, man.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm about 4 years away from those fears. And unless it's someone foreclosing on my house,
right?
No one's going to kick me out of the garage.
But it seemed like that you were on Air America for a number of years. You did the morning show on there.
The morning show for a year and a half, and then.
But then you got fired.
I got fired, right. And then I did an evening show in L.A. for about 6 months.
And then what happened?
I don't even know if anyone really listened to that. I think they were
well,
faking me out.
You were on after like baseball games and sports.
Yeah, they used to preempt me. I used to sit there and wait to do live radio until a Clippers game ended. That's a good feeling, man. So I get there to do a 10 o'clock show and they're like, yeah, game's not over. So you just sit
fortunately,
there.
You weren't behind baseball, so you didn't have to worry for like the 23-inning game where they just say, Mark, go home.
Look, I don't know anything about any of them. They all take too long when you're waiting.
But then you have to do the. The after game show.
But the thing was is that they had done deals with certain Clear Channel outlets, so this was not an all talk station. What happened was is that in the evenings, this station KTLK in Los Angeles still had a deal with some of the local teams. I think it was women's basketball and a couple of other teams. I don't keep up with sports. So
were the phone lines dead after a WNBA game and you took over?
Yeah, I don't know that anyone listened to us. Of course they were dead.
It was the worst lead. We used to follow, major indoor soccer. They're like, hey, man. Sure. Wait for the soccer game to finish. I'm like, nobody's listening to this. And you know goddamn well they're not. We're not even listening, and we're running the board.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst. How are those phones? Those phones lighting up? We got one guy here who just wants to know what traffic is like.
And then you also had a program director who disagreed with the kind of show that you were doing.
Yeah, well, I was in Siberia, man. I mean, what happened with me in radio was that the guy pushing me out of morning radio thought that my show was too irreverent and that they wanted it to be more like NPR. And our argument was, there's already an NPR, idiot. You know, we're trying to do some comedy. And Stern had just left Terrestrial, so it was like we were poised to do some stuff that would have been great. We were doing solid comedy. But this dummy, this Danny Goldberg guy, pulls the plug on us. Oh, I'm sorry, I mentioned his name, Danny Goldberg. So he pulls the plug on us. It doesn't matter.
Because he's an entertainment. He's got his stuff together.
I don't know what he was. You know, it was the whole premise of Air America. It was unclear. There was a lot of other people's money involved, a lot of people that didn't know what they were doing involved, and there was this open door policy to CEOs that would screw things up. So it wasn't even in the realm of what you guys are dealing with.
Open door policy.
Yeah. Right. So
you know what you're doing? No. Come on in.
Yeah, you got money and you seem to like the cause. Come on in. So what happened was they kicked me out, and then there were some people within the organization that said, look, you know, he made a mistake. He's not going to be here forever. You move back to L.A. We'll get you set up over there at KTLK. It's our affiliate. We'll get you on the air there.
From what? To Queens? Well, to
L.A.? Well, I had an apartment in Queens. I was already living in L.A., okay. But I kept my apartment there because it wasn't that much. So I was staying, yeah. So I went back to L.A., and they set me up in evenings at KTLK. Now, the thing was, yeah, that was an affiliate, but the program director hated my guts, hated me, because what I used to do on the radio was we were up at 3 in the morning, you know, doing the 6 o'clock show out of New York, but that meant it would start at 3 o'clock in L.A., but they used to rerun it in L.A., as a morning show,
okay.
Until Stephanie Miller took over and started going live in mornings at 6. So I was pissed off because I'm like, God, we had an audience in L.A. So what I would do at 3 in the morning L.A. time, 6 o'clock New York time, knowing that Stephanie was about to go on the air, I'd be like, all right, well, I guess if you want to listen to Stephanie in my old spot, you know, like, right. So I was doing that. Not even thinking about it, just thinking like, that's funny, right? So I get out to L.A., and her program director is like, oh, yeah, we know who you are.
You mother.
Yeah, exactly. You got the spot after the sports show if there's any time left. That's the favor we're going to do you.
Right. Well, now you're doing a podcast, so you have a little bit more control of what you're doing. I
have all the control.
And I saw that, who'd you have on last time? Joe Jonas? Or
Jonah Hill was on the other. Yeah. I do 2 a week. I had Jonah Hill on recently. I had Iggy Pop on recently. Mel Brooks, Dick Van Dyke.
Iggy Pop.
Yeah.
Did you touch his skin?
Sure.
And is it like
what
leather?
Does it feel
is it leather
like
a coach bag? What is it? What? Retired in Florida. It kind of has that.
Do you look as good as that guy? He's almost 70.
He's probably a buck 35.
He
looks like he's almost 70. Everybody said, dude, look at Iggy Pop. He looks great for his age. I'm like, he looks like his age at his age.
He also kind of looks like one of those people who's hung themselves from their nipples.
He's a little guy. Like, no, he's the nipples look pretty tight. Yeah, he's all right.
Okay.
That's the funny thing is, it's like you're asking me these questions like it's just a given that he would do an interview in my garage with no shirt on.
He doesn't have a shirt. He's like McConaughey, isn't he?
He did do it with no shirt on.
See, I told you.
But the weird thing, it didn't start like that.
He had to take it off, though.
Well, yeah, but see, anybody singer. Else, you know, he drives up in a limo with his 9-foot-tall wife or girlfriend, his road manager, the publicist is there. They're on my deck.
This is to be in your garage.
Yeah. I have a crappy little garage. Not even a real... It's like a 1920s garage. It was built for a Model T or something. It's a little garage. It's towards the back of my house. I got a deck out back there. I live in a 2-bedroom house with 1 bathroom, which my fiance reminds me of constantly. Apparently, once you get engaged... Another bathroom is required.
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
you know what? It's because they don't want you to smell what they do. I'm telling you, women will bitch about when you get, oh my God, what did you eat? I ate what we ate together. But women will hold the poop. It's like they're camping.
Yeah.
They will hold the poop until you leave the house and you're going to be out of the house for a while.
Yeah,
not
mine. You got a different woman than mine. My woman wakes up and goes, I got to poop.
Check it out.
All right. Yeah.
That's when you knew you wanted to marry her.
Sure. Well, you know, it's nice to have those boundaries as sort of porous as possible, because when you got 1 bathroom, she's going to be in there showering and I'm going to be like, either I'm going to crap outside or she's going to take it. She's going to have to take it.
So Iggy gets out of the limo, no shirt.
No, he got a shirt on.
All right.
But he walks out onto my deck, and he's sort of like, oh, man, this is nice out here. I got to breathe a little bit. I'm like, all right, he's just breathing. Within 2 minutes, shirt comes off,
right,
and he's out in my backyard. Like anybody else, you'd be like, what's going on? But you're like, oh, no, it's Iggy. He doesn't wear a shirt. And he came in.
Did he almost look more familiar when he had a shirt off? Like, yeah. I've never seen a picture of the man wearing a shirt ever.
Exactly.
He started.
He looks fine. He's a little guy. I mean, he's only got to be probably 5'4", 5'5". But, as for a guy who's almost 70, he is in good shape. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, skin distends eventually.
A comedian is, think about this.
He looks like a penis candle on that you Viagra. Started with. He looks like an old penis.
With
Viagra. I had to go through a whole catalog of words there.
You look good for your age. Yeah. It just happens you look like a penis.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I just pictured the guy on the dump button. You know, where's Marin going? All right, we're good.
Penis is okay.
I know penis is okay. For me personally, I prefer the other thing.
You've been doing stand-up for a long time. Has there ever been a shirtless comedian?
I mean, no, I don't. I think Kreischer occasionally takes his shirt off, and Bobby Lee will reveal some parts
maybe
of his stomach.
Maybe Carrot Top in a vain way every once in a while.
Maybe. I don't know if he actually did on stage, but you know, Iggy was great. The bottom line was he sat there, we talked, and you know, I don't know what you anticipate from a guy like that, but he's a big hero of mine. He's a rock.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the greatest rock and roll stars ever. And you don't know what you're going to get with rock guys, you know, because musicians, they don't have to talk. You know, they just have to be. So you don't know what you're going to get. But he was lucid. He was smart. His memory was, like, completely there. Occasionally, he did tweak his nipples during the interview. I didn't draw attention to it. Right. Well, yeah, he just started pulling at him. Like, is this happening?
Anything?
How could I not say anything?
Yeah.
Because I don't know where that would go. You know, I don't know.
You don't want to find out?
Yeah, no, kind of like, so what's going on with the nipple? Yeah, what
but
if he
he's
said,
tweaking them. Like, it would be inappropriate if you just asked me. Let me see your nipples.
But if
I am actively tweaking them shirtless, I would have no problem with you saying, look, you know, I'm getting a little distracted because you keep yanking your nipples as we're talking.
Well, that might have been good.
A very fair moment to bring it up.
I know. It might have been good radio.
He's like a penis with nipples.
Yeah, he is.
Mark,
like an old aggravated penis with nipples. Who is it, eventually?
Mark Maron tonight at the Moore Theater. The show is at 8 o'clock, along with Eugene Merriman and John Benjamin. What have you...
Kristen Schaal, Kurt Bronner. It's John Glazer's coming too.
Okay.
And I don't think there's any tickets left. So go ahead and try.
check it out.
It's sold out, and this is what you'll be missing.
Great lineup. Right? You can't go there.
Check it out your Twitter feed today. You went. You did the morning round of radio. Then you ended up going to the Hendrix.
I went to the
graveside.
Okay. Yeah. I for some reason some guy got it in my head that that you should go out to the grave.
Did you go to his donut shop first?
I went to I went to the other one. I didn't go to his. What's the name of that place?
You went to Top Pot.
Works at Top Pot. He works at the other one, Capitol Hill. I went to the one down by wherever the hell I was and had, like, I didn't, you know, donuts. That's crazy. I mean, everyone says, like, those are great donuts. I've never had a bad donut.
I like them.
No, but I've never, like, even ones that come out of a box that have been on a supermarket shelf for days. That'll work.
Right.
It'll work.
The ones covered in chocolate?
Yeah, who cares? Right. I mean, but, you know, if you're eating donuts, you don't give a crap about yourself. You know what I mean? You're going to shovel that stuff in no matter where it comes from. Yeah, there was a high-end donut. But,
donut, huh?
Yeah, but it was good. I'm not saying it wasn't good. But, yeah, so some guy got it. And then, like, just now, I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. I got to stop, though. I don't know if you guys even know that this place exists or whether anyone goes in there. I just ate at a place that just said corned beef outside.
Oh, that's great.
Across the street.
I can't believe you're not sleeping already.
No, it was great.
Yeah, I mean,
it might as well just say, welcome Jews. So, yeah. So I'm like, that's familiar to me. Look, that's like a temple.
Sure.
So I'm going to go in there and have a corned beef sandwich.
Vacuum-packed brisket is the first thing.
No, it's beautiful. It was really good. I was surprised. I shoveled that down because I got here a little early. And, I went out to Hendrix's grave. I took a couple pictures. There was, you know.
Anybody smoking weed? Anybody leave some
there's
joints?
There's a little weed
so?
There. Okay. You know, I I don't do that anymore. I'm not saying I don't miss it, but I don't do it. But
how much do you miss it? Especially when you're
much.
In a state where it's legal.
Yeah, is it legal?
Yeah.
I just started again. No, I didn't. I've been off everything for like 14 years, but yeah, not that I'm counting. And, you know, 13 years, 6 days. No, there was people up there, but it was funny. There was like this dude with a Motley Crue vest and his girlfriend rubbing the, you know, getting a rubbing on
like
the
a
paper.
Stencil, you know
what I mean? Yeah, yeah. I'm like, yeah, a little respect here, you know. But it was cute. I wish it was. It seems to be like, was it ever just a couple of people tweeted me that it was just once a grave, and now they built this huge monument, you know, because for some creepy reason, you know, I kind of want to know how the body's situated. You know, like it's a big enough monument. It's like, is he under here? Is he over there?
Like,
you
where
know,
is it?
Yeah, where's the guy? You know, I'm here to be as close to the guy as possible, but now I'm in this granite gazebo, you know, with stuff all over the place. It was nice, but you know what I'm saying? You go to a grave,
it's
you see
nice
the headstone.
As a grave can be, sure.
Right, no, you see the headstone, then you're like, well, right in front of there, that's where the guy is.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do, like a barbecue? Have you thought about how you're going to immortalize yourself? I mean, is there a good way to do it? Like, you know, like have food stand there, maybe sell lemonade? I mean, do you have any good ideas as far as like, what do you want people to come up and see when you're long gone? You know, I mean, is there any ideas that would just be great?
Hey, man, I just want them to immortalize my garage. I want them to sort of like enshrine me in the garage for viewing for as long as possible.
Right.
Perhaps even still do interviews. I would ask my part-time assistant to go go ahead and run the mics.
Maybe you could have like a button and you could just ask people questions like, why are you here?
Yeah, just that's what I'll do. I'll leave an interview format.
Right. Sure.
And then I'll just be laying in state and whoever comes. Right. It'd be a little morbid, but I think it'd be interesting.
Now, you said you've been sober for a while. How fast were you going there back in the day? I know you you were friends with, Sam Kinison, a number of comedians.
Yeah, I did my graduate work in Hollywood cutting lines for Sam.
That was all normal at the time.
I'll do a quick impression of my first year in comedy. Yeah, keep telling me about keep talking about you, Sam. It's really interesting. No, I want to listen to you talk about yourself for 5 hours. You got more of this stuff? All right. Hey, man, I can't just believe I just listened to a guy tell me about his car for 6 hours. You know,
we won't say what artist we had in here, Slash, but, you know, he's another one of those guys. He's like, man, you know, I've been off drugs for however long it's been.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's sitting where you are, and we're not on the air yet, but just kind of talking beforehand. And he's like, yeah, you know, man, you clean yourself up, you have kids, you get married and all this. And he had a bag of Sweet 'n Low.
Uh-huh.
And as he's talking to us, he absolutely was pouring it out and started cutting it up with a business card.
Oh, yeah.
And Miles goes, God, dude, what's wrong with you?
Come on,
and
man.
Slash had this moment of clarity. He was like, oh, my God.
What am I doing?
He lined it up real nice and right. You know, like,
I would
almost thought about taking a bump of Sweden.
But that would have been the best end of that story. If he just went, was there a problem?
It's not drugs.
I ain't doing coke.
It's not even sugar.
It's not. Look at me. I'm so thin.
Yeah, I went pretty hard. But like when I was with Sam, I was a doorman at the store. I was pretty much a kid. I was like 22 years old. It took me, you know, I didn't get, you know, fully, you know, I didn't lock in for another 20, you know, till 99. So it was on and off. But, you know, I mean, I managed to maintain a very, you know, obscure comedy career. I'm not going to blame the drugs. Like, I still did my job. It's just no one really gave a crap about me for about 20 years. Not because of the drugs. I still did my job.
You've been listening to The Greatest Story Never Told with Miles and Thrill on Radio.com.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.